Morning.
Thank you for the introduction, my brother. I just wanted to say he's never failed me yet. That was a beautiful song. I have to thank my daughter. When I see her this evening, she went to California for a little week vacation to spend with Khadija. It's her birthday, Khadija's birthday. So it's nice that when young people grow up together in this assembly, they stick together, you know? It's a beautiful thing. I just want to get a couple of housekeeping things out of the way. Brother Kippens had given me a bottle of water. It's a cold bottle of water. And I see that there's already a bottle here. So I just wanted to ask if it would be okay if I take this one home. You know, if I could have this one, and then I'll just drink this one. Is that all right? Okay, thank you. Great, we got that done. Well, you know, it's a beautiful thing to be in the house of the Lord. And I just wanted to make one comment, and that's about the Sisters Committee. What a beautiful conference they had last week. And truly outstanding. So Sister Yvette Richmond, Sister Bernice Whittier, Sister June Agard, Sister Marcia Williams. I think there's a fifth member on that committee. I think it's Philomena Waters, that's right. Praise the Lord. Well done, ladies. I forgot my wife's name because we're still not getting along. You know, we're still not getting along. Just the other day, my son came home from school, and we were, you know, sitting around chatting. And, you know, with his tuition and thing, and room and board, you know, we try to invest a few dollars here or there, you know, so my son does that for me. And he was telling me that, you know, he made a few investments, you know, $100, $200. So I said to him, I asked him, I said, well, how much money did you invest in this startup? He said, oh, $200, Dad. I said, okay, not bad. So my wife comments, oh, look at Mr. Big, $200. Mr. Shark Tank. Hey, you know, Mark Cuban, step aside. Mr. Big is coming through with his $200 on Shark Tank. So we got a little kick out of that. And then the other day, you know, I was watching this commercial about Invisalign. And I said to my lovely wife, I said, you know, maybe I should get Invisalign. You know, if those, you know, braces that are not necessarily invisible, but they're clear, so it's hard to see. And I said, I think it'd be good. She said, no, you don't need that. I said, no, I think it might be good for me to get Invisalign. She said, no. I said, I really do. She said, okay, come here, Michael Strahan. Let me take a look at you. So but she kind of zings me every so often, you know, but it's all in love. Shall we pray? Our Godly Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, we humbly and reverently approach that throne of grace. Our Father, we ask that you hide me behind the cross and you would bring back to memory all that I have prepared for today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. So, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I know we've been talking about faith, and I just felt led to, you know, to turn to this chapter. And Hebrews 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. But without faith, it is impossible. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he cometh to God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But we've been talking about faith for a few months now. And when you think about faith, you know, you have to turn to the book of Hebrews. And it's a very famous chapter in the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians who were under pressure in their Christian walk. And they were under pressure because of various temptations, persecutions that were taking place. They were being persecuted, many of them, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. So many of them started to waver in their faith, and they were tempted to leave the faith. So the writer of Hebrews in verse 11 says the following: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what does that mean? Well, as I read it, you know, there are often times when the Bible will tell you exactly what you're looking for. And this passage, as I read it, is definitional. It answers the question, what is? What is faith? Well, it tells us. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So first and foremost, it tells us that faith must have substance. And what is substance? Well, substance is essence. It's matter. It's physical matter. It's a person. It's a spirit. A thing. A solid presence. That which is tangible. But believers, we know Jesus is substance. We also know that there's the world, humanism. That's also substance. The thing about the world, though, the world has very little substance. So going back to this first verse, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is an expectation and a hope which has substance. Faith is the reality of what is hoped for. And it's also the proof of what has not been seen. So to exercise faith, one has to have confidence about the expectation without proof that it will happen. What makes this confidence possible? What makes it possible is the trustworthiness of the object of your faith. As believers, we have faith in God. We trust God. And so when we pray knowing that what we desire, that is an expectation that we have, it will happen in His will, as He wills it. Even though we have no evidence that it can happen, it will happen, or it's even capable of happening. It says the evidence of things not seen. So from a legal perspective, evidence is any proof presented through any medium of witnesses, records, documents, concrete objects for the purpose of inducing belief. So it's an expectation and a hope that has substance. Now, from a, you know, day in, day out type of living, you know, we have sort of a faith in things in order to just live normal, right? You know, when we get in our car, we have an expectation it's going to start. It's going to take us from point A to point B. If Sister Edna asks Brother Victor to pick her up from the Valley Stream train station at 7 p.m. on Monday, she has an expectation and a belief that he will be there at 7:10. She has faith based on past performance that the ticket that she purchased from the Long Island Railroad will be valid for her transport when the conductor asks her for it. She has faith that the engineer operating the train will get her from Penn Station to Valley Stream safely. She has faith that the Long Island Railroad will arrive on schedule. She has an expectation that Brother Victor will be waiting at 7:10 to meet him. Natural faith. This isn't spiritual faith, however, because this is faith based on what has been seen. Sister Edna knows that Brother Archie is reliable, dependable, but she has faith. There are many who have an expectation and a hope of someone who is alive. But there's also us as believers, we have an expectation in someone that we've never seen, and his name is Jesus. So faith is tied to substance spiritually that has not been seen or experienced by us. And what makes biblical faith truly different is that the substance to which it is attached, God, is above and beyond our full comprehension. His ways are not our ways. His plans are not our plans. He is holy, we are sinful. He is wise, we are foolish. He is strong, we are weak. And the list goes on. But what's interesting is that oftentimes God speaks, and oftentimes what he tells us is beyond our experience. And even what he asks us to do is further beyond our experience. And oftentimes, you know, young people want to know, how can I be successful? They want to know, give me that. Give me that nugget. It's right here. You've got to know that God can do the impossible. I'll say it again. You've got to know that God can do the impossible. You know, faith is a lifestyle. It's not an event. Faith is the way we live. Faith is the way the faithful live. Faith is how God-fearing believers live. When you live by faith, you experience God in action. You experience God fulfilling his word. I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. You know, we tell our children that a lot, but do we believe it? I do. Well, faith has experienced God in action. And the person who's not living by faith, even a believer, who's not living by faith, is not experiencing God in his or her circumstances. See, somebody gave me an amen. Thank you, Sriho. Faith is believing that God is the creator of all creation. Faith is believing that all we see in nature is made from that which is not visible. Faith is believing God's word. You know, when you go back to Genesis, and God said, let there be light, rhema word. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Rhema word. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and the dry land appear. And it was so. Rhema word. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, the yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Rhema word. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Rhema word. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Rhema word. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle, creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Rhema word. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Rhema word. God spoke it, and it was. You know, faith is tied to how much substance you possess. So faith is really attached to whatever it is that becomes your substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for with no evidence that it exists, because it is based upon that which is unseen. Faith is Jesus answering our prayers, even though we don't know what is currently happening, what is going to happen, and how impossible it's going to be to work it out. You know, verse 2 says, this is what the ancients were commended for. So after giving a definition of faith, the author of Hebrews gives examples of faith in action. So verse 7 says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and he became heir of the righteous, which is by faith. Noah walked with God. If you walk with God, that is pleasing to God. Pleasing God means to make God happy. And walking with God means to make our decisions based on our relationship with him. Now, what's interesting about the heroes of the faith is that, you know, the people on this list had issues. They had issues. You know, they weren't perfect people. Nor, you know, you read later, he wasn't a perfect man. David was a murderer. Jacob was a liar. I mean, you know, this list is not a list of perfect people. I mean, that should be encouraging to somebody. I know it's encouraging to me. But you know what's interesting is that if you look at Genesis chapter 6, it lets us know what the world was like at that point in time. It also lets us know that Noah was not in step with the culture. Because Genesis 6 tells us there was immorality, there was violence, there was lewdness, there was vulgarity, there was profanity, there was lying, there was killing, there was blasphemy, and demon possession. It actually was a lot like it is today. But God tells Noah, I'm going to destroy the world, and I want you to build an ark. But Noah had never even seen a flood. It had never even rained at that point, as scripture reveals. So without knowing what a flood looks like, without knowing even what rain looks like, Noah persevered for 120 years, building that ark. In a corrupt world, yet Noah obeyed God, being warned of things not seen. And Noah was given instructions without being told how everything was going to work, but he did it in faith. Have you ever had that happen to you in your life? I mean, have you ever had that happen in your life? I guess it was only me. I mean, when you think about it, many of us are parents. Have you ever thought about when that little baby was born and you said, Lord, I want you to protect my son. I want you to protect my daughter. Protect our children. And you look at your children now at 30 and 40 years old. I mean, if that doesn't stand back and tell you God did some things that was unseen, if that doesn't give you some faith, and we have to go to the Pentecostal church next week. I get a little more amens, but so, but what is faith? If you look at Noah's life, faith is, I stand with God. And then verse 8 tells us, by faith. This is very interesting because he mentions Abraham and, you know, by faith four times. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, right? A place for his blessing. You know, the Pentecostals call it a place called there, but I know I'm in the Brethren Church this morning, so I'm not going to go there. But by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You know, verse 11 says, through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. By faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, I know what you're saying. It was Ishmael, but Ishmael wasn't the son of the promise. So what do we have here? We have a situation where God says to Abraham, I have something for you to do. I have a plan for you, Abraham. But in order for you to fulfill my plan, you have to leave it. All the comforts of living amongst
people
of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
All the comforts of living amongst your immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
A city that was built. He said, I'm not going to show you where I'm taking you until you leave where you are. I'm not going to take you where, I'm not going to show you where I'm taking you until you leave where you are. And you know what that's called? That's called stepping out in faith. Sometimes you want to live in a box, safe in the box. It's secure in that box. But I believe, God can't take you places that you never dreamed possible. You step outside that box. So by faith in God, Abraham had a hope in a place that he had never seen. So there are times when God may ask you to do something that doesn't make any sense. But by faith, Abraham said, I'm going to stand with God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you look at verse 23, you have by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. You know, it's a beautiful thing when you grow up in a Christian home. You know, I always shake my head when I look at people that grew up in a Christian home that just don't get it. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. You know, I grew up in a home far from that. It's amazing. You know, some of you heard my testimony. You know, when I was 7, my brother was 9. You know, my mother said, get dressed and go find a church. So we got dressed. We went walking, you know. We found a white church, and my brother looked at me. I looked at him, and we said, I don't think we're going to be too comfortable here. So we went walking some more. And then we found a black church. We said, yeah, this is the place. But you know, Moses, had God-fearing parents. He had God-fearing parents. It is a blessing. You know, you're sitting here by your mother and your father. You better look them in the eye and say, thank you for loving me enough to bring me to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, I won't bore you with my life story. I can write a book. You buy it and say, Winston, I don't believe. But in any event, going back to the word, I know its time is going, but by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. God-fearing parents who had faith in the true God, that was their substance. And they had a confidence that their God, our God, was going to do some things for Moses, despite the fact that that was the most dangerous time to ever have a child. Thank God for God-fearing parents. You know, I remember, you know, when I was about 15, you know, my mother used to have parties. And they would, you know, make the rest of the money for food, maybe some meals. But, you know, we'd have to clean up our rooms. We couldn't go into our rooms because she would, you know, invite spiritualists over. And I was amazed. I was utterly amazed. How many people you got on the who were going to church on a Sunday morning would run over and want to get a reading. Want to get a reading. Even though I was young, I was against it. It's a wonderful thing to have God-fearing parents. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who was invisible. You know, Moses had faith in choosing God. You know, Moses could have said, listen, I'm in line to become king. I could continue beyond the age of 40 with all the pleasures that the richest nation in the world at that time was offering. But Moses chose God, despite knowing that he would suffer with the people of Israel, Moses stood with God and forsook position And he forsook all the momentary pleasures that the world had to offer. You know, we may not understand God. We may not perceive his ways. We often don't see the reasons why he asks us to do what we are called upon to do. But if Jehovah Elohim is God, and I believe he is, if he is the kind of God that reveals himself as is revealed in Scripture, that God is the one who we should follow, whether we understand him or not. Faith in action. Faith in action. Well, I'm going to move along a little bit because I know time is beyond us, but when you think about faith in action, you have to stand with God. You know, faith is acting like it is so, even when it is not so, in order that it might be so, simply because God said so. So I ask the question, is there anybody here this morning who is just? Is anybody who's just? I know that sounds like a Lutheran or Methodist question. Let me put it a different way. Is there anyone here who is righteous? Well, I know that sounds like a Pentecostal question. Well, take a look at Hebrews 10:35. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verse 35 says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. But yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believed the saving of the soul. So he uses the word, now the just, in verse 38, shall live by faith. Now look at the New International Version. So I do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you receive what he has promised. But in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And but by my righteous one, will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So I ask the question again, is anybody here just or righteous? Anyone here stand with Jesus? Oh, okay. All right, amen. We stand with God, all right. Well, last thing I want to mention is that if there's anybody here today who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, your faith is in meaningless substance. Belief in only that which you can see. And I would encourage you to have faith in him who died at the cross of Calvary, who I have never seen, but in whom I believe. He's the Son of God, who died on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins, with the promise of everlasting life, and with the expectation that is Jesus in our soul. That's the type of faith that accomplishes the victory. So as we live day by day, let us keep the faith. You know, when when my son was in high school, he won the International Intel Science Award competition. Over 1 million plus people, you could Google it, apply every year. I think it's like 1.5 million or something like that. And he was one of, 1,600 finalists, only one from our high school district. And because there are five schools in the high school district, it was a nasty bit of discrimination. And they refused to acknowledge him at the countywide, the district-wide, with all five participating schools in the awards night ceremony or any of the district-wide school literature. It was as if it never happened. And I remember at the awards ceremony, he was so hurt. He's the kind of kid that, doesn't really let you know when things are bothering him, which is really bad. And I looked at him and said, "Don't worry. God's got you. You're going to be back here." Within 6 months, he had won the national Intel competition. He was one of, they had, he was on the front page of Newsday. And him and about 50 other kids, they called it Science Island, dominates the Intel Science Awards. And they gave a nice write-up about him and the family. He got citations from, this politician, this congresswoman. It was unbelievable. But it was only because Jesus. Jesus said, "You're not going to do this to one of my own. No weapon formed against you will prosper." And he took him from no one even knowing that he existed in the district to the whole Long Island in parts of New York City, having read the article about it. Only God can do that. But only God can do that if you have a faith, if you stand with him.